Fantasy TV.
Vain worship. It seems incredible. Because when we think of the word worship, we think of great honor, great esteem. In fact, the Greek word means toward team. Toward team, T-E-E-M, to be effusively toward something. The definition in the Concordant Dictionary is a dog-like fawning. It's a very strong word. It doesn't necessarily have to apply to God. It can apply to anything that one teems toward, that one is exuberantly passionate about and displays it, I believe, physically. I believe that physicality is essential here to understanding of this word. I'm referencing Matthew 15:9 here. In vain do they worship me. But again, that's the King James Version. The word in the Concordant Version is even more shocking. This is Martin Zender, and you are at MZTV. I am glad you're here, and I'm happy to be with you. The shock, again and again and again, the shock that people who are so sincere, speaking of religious world, so adamant, so effusive in their praise, raising their hands, tears streaming down their face. The shock is, none of it matters. None of it matters if they are teaching the teachings of humans. It is completely empty. It is a sham. This is why when you send me Christian songs, I know many people have with good intention sent me Christian music. I know the Christian music moves them in a certain way, and I've fallen into it myself because of an emotional attachment to certain songs, speaking specifically the songs that were in Grace Cafe. I never liked the intro song, Revive Us Again. I remember my wife liked the song. Mike and Denise Tellup liked the song. Revive Us Again. It's like a soul song. It's about reviving us, make us excited again about your word. And I just wanted to spit it out of my mouth. And Matthew 15:9 is why. Even if I didn't have that verse in mind at the time, I knew something was wrong with it because I knew that the people behind it were hypocrites. Every time I hear a Christian song, I can't help but think the people who wrote it are hypocrites. The people singing it are hypocrites. They believe in eternal torment. They believe in human free will. They believe that man's will is more powerful than God's will. They think God is a monster who's going to torture people in hell for eternity because they didn't love him in return, even though with their lips, they're teaching salvation by grace. And with that, I want to go to the verse, and I'm going to start in the King James Version. And then I'm going to go to the Concordant Version, because as I told you, it's even more shocking in the Concordant Version. God looks right through this. It's not a popular thing to do, because the first thing you want to do is you want to give some kind of credit. These people and their music and their singing and their praises, and there is, it's the sincerity that you are so tempted to excuse, so tempted to acknowledge as, well, God knows your heart. Yes, that's just the thing. God does know their heart, and their hearts are dark because they are worshiping him in vain. And our Lord says what the opposite of that is. And the opposite of that is a stunner. It is not worshiping him sincerely. Let me go to this in the King James Version first. Matthew 15:9. Let's start with verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips. This is the stuff that's coming out of their mouth. But their heart is far from me. And we know that their heart is far from him, because they elevate the human in their teaching. They demote Christ to someone who merely attempted to save everyone and failed miserably. And again, I'll say it again and again, they believe that God is a monster who is capable of torturing people forever. And yet they're singing about Jesus, singing the praises of God, singing Amazing Grace, and they hire an organ player who's very skilled, very talented, who can move the people. They spend tens of thousands of dollars on an organ. Those things cost a lot of money, big pipe organ. And the big concern now is what they call worship and what they call music in the Christian religion. What they call music, what they call worship, but it's not. I drive down 3rd Street to turn right on Las Olas when I go meet Manfred for breakfast every other Tuesday at the Floridian. And there's this Baptist church. And there's an advertisement. There's a banner out front. And the banner shows a black woman with a microphone in a what they would call a worship pose, singing soulfully, one would have to suspect, because this church has it going on. If you come to this church, the first thing they want you to know is that they have moving music, that they have terrific musicians, they have wonderful, talented people who can write and perform songs, including all the classics that you've come to love. And that is the first draw of any church. It's how cool they are, how hip they are, and how their worship service is so heartfelt, so meaningful, so in tune with God, and God just soaks it up and loves it. Jesus himself has a tear coming from his eye by means of the raw sincerity of those uttering or singing his so-called praises. And I want to tell you that none of this is true. None of it counts. It will all end up in the ash heap of aeonian death. And our Lord is going to tell you why. King James Version. But in vain they do worship me. The second half of this verse is coming. I don't want to give it to you yet because I want to concentrate on this. In vain do they worship me. Again, that word is so strong, and this is exactly what they're doing in the churches. And if anyone saw it, if anyone who did not know the second half of this verse saw this, heard the sound, heard the noise, got wind of the music wafting out of the windows of the building, they would be moved even to tears. And the people in the audience are moved to tears, and their arms are raised, and their heads are cranked back, their eyes closed as they whisper because they can't get the words out because they are so moved. And it sounds like I'm mocking it. I'm not. I'm destroying it. I am utterly destroying this sham because God destroys it. Here's the second half of the verse. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Our Lord takes it directly out of the worship sphere, the human side of this, the effusive emotional play of either physicality or song, and he just dismisses it and brings everything back to the most important thing, the only thing, doctrines. Doctrines. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. A woman once said to me, everyone gets along at our church. And I said, how is that possible? And she said, well, we never discuss doctrine. Well, what the hell do you do there? It's a worship service. We praise God and we worship God. And if there are any doctrines at the church, I can assure you, they're the doctrines, the commandments of men. They're the doctrines of demons passed on to men. Namely, free will, eternal torment, and the Trinity. This is the Holy Trinity of the Christian religion. And as long as these satanic teachings come down from demonic conclaves into the assemblies of humans and are disseminated to the susceptible humans who heap up teachers in accord with their own desires and whose hearing has been turned aside to myths, even while this is happening, even while this is being corporately absorbed into the system, known by the system, many people signing a document stating these false teachings to be so, it doesn't matter to them. But the worship, oh, you should see the worship. There can be no worship apart from correct doctrine. There's the verse. What is being compared here? Correct doctrine with worship. Why is the worship called vain? Because the doctrine is in accord with human teaching, with tradition, and not in accord with the truth of God. It's vain, empty, useless, less than nothing. Less than nothing. Nothing would be better. But it's less than nothing. Because the most important thing, the teaching, is relegated to second place. And they all start their services with worship songs. Worship songs are in the middle and worship songs are in the end. And if you don't have a big fucking screen at your church with all the lyrics on it, then you are not a church that anybody's going to want to attend. And again, this is the selling point of nearly every Christian church today. To the point that the worship team, the worship leader, is a full-time job. People go to college to be worship leaders. Every single minute in those colleges, every single minute spent composing songs and performing songs and singing songs is a complete waste. It's worse. I said it was worse than nothing. How could it be worse than nothing? Because it is being done in the face of diabolical teaching. If wrong teaching, if the commandments of men, as the King James Version says here, I'm going to go to the Concordant Version in a moment. If the commandments of men and the teachings of men were not there, and the music was isolated. Well, now we're talking about Led Zeppelin and the Beatles. Now we're talking about Green Day or Buddy Holly. or Prince or Madonna. They don't have teachings of humans. They don't have the commandments of men behind their music. I would rather hear Elvis Presley singing a gospel song any day. I would rather hear the Beatles singing All You Need Is Love any day than this Christian so-called worship music, because it is being done in the arena of teaching. Let's go to the concordant version. It's even more shocking. I wanted to start there because of the picture we all have of worship. Some people think of worship as just bowing down in homage, bowing down in homage. Yeah, that could be it. Concordant, again, defines it as a dog-like fawning. So, that can be it. It's an extreme manifestation. And anytime anybody today is seen engaged in an extreme manifestation of some kind of passion, everybody respects it. I mean, we respect passion. Except this. I respect no church passion, no Christian passion. I respect none of it. Jesus himself called it vain. It's vain if the teaching is of human origin and not divine. It is empty. That's what vain means, empty. Matthew 15:9, concordant version. Let's start with verse 8. This people, with their lips, is honoring me, yet their heart is away at a distance from me. Oh yes, their hearts are dark, because their hearts embrace the teaching of eternal conscious torment for God's enemies, and they like it. They're dark. And they believe that the reason they are escaping that horrible, nightmarish fate while other people are not is because they had the wisdom or the common sense, the spiritual acumen to choose Jesus Christ. And these other people didn't. In other words, they were wise and the other people were stupid. And yet, they had the audacity to call it salvation by grace. They had the audacity to say, it was all of Jesus, my salvation. But that's a whitewashed wall. Jesus sees right through it. God sees right through it. I see right through it because Jesus and God taught me to see right through it. Because I concentrate on teaching. What are they teaching? This people with their lips is honoring me, yet their heart is away at a distance from me. Verse 9, yet in vain are they revering me, teaching for teachings the directions of men. Jesus is obsessed, and so is Paul, obsessed with the teachings. Obsessed with the teachings. Don't even strike up the band. In the olden days, strike up the lute or the lyre. In modern days, strike up the electric guitar and the saxophone. Don't even start it unless we talk about the teaching. What are you teaching? Are you teaching the directions of humans, the teachings of humans, or the teachings and directions of God? I already know the answer. It's so obvious. If they're in organized religion, they're teaching the doctrines of humans that their leaders got from a seminary. They're not teaching the salvation of all, which is one of the greatest truths in the scriptures, if not the greatest truth in the scripture, based on the death, entombment, and resurrection of Christ. They're not teaching that. None of them are teaching that. They're not teaching that salvation by a human is futile. No, they are putting all the responsibility on the human. and by default taking it away from God. Even though they won't say that overtly, they do it covertly by giving the opportunity, by giving the necessity, by making a human decision, a necessity in the salvation equation, which is part God, part you. Which part gets it done, God or mine? Well, yours actually does. God's part through Christ was not enough. If it were enough, you would be saved, but you're not saved. How do you get saved? Do your part, making your part the most important part. I'm sorry for making sense for a living. I'm sorry for being so logical, but this is how it lays. This is how it is. Every single one of their dark churches are filled with dark hearts who pose as hearts of light. Just listen to the music. I don't give a shit about the music. Let me hear what their teaching is. Let me hear their teaching. What? Eternal separation from God? Why? Eternal separation from God. How can that be possible when Jesus Christ is the Savior, when God is the Savior of all humanity and Jesus Christ shed his blood to take away the sin of the world? How is that possible? Well, because some humans are stubborn. Well, God locks up altogether in stubbornness, Romans 11:32, so that he can eventually show mercy to all. They don't believe that. There is no mercy. God gave you a chance. You blew it. You're going to hell forever. Dark, dark hearts, dark souls. I'm not tricked by the music. You shouldn't be either. Jesus isn't tricked by the music. But this word, in vain are they revering me. This is even more shocking, because now we're getting past this cuckoo music that they play, where they all cry and they have a great musician, great music. Come to our church. We have a new guitarist. He's wonderful. The drummer is amazing. The singer is, she's just like a voice of an angel. I don't care. What's your teaching? Eternal torment? Human free will? That a human's will could be independent of God? A human will can operate independently of God and can thwart the will of God. God wills all humanity to be saved, come to a realization of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. You're telling me that a human will can rebuff that and choose otherwise? So it's God's will against the human's will, and the human's will wins? You're teaching that? And you want me to hear your songs? Your songs are empty. They're useless. They're worse than nothing. I'll go home and listen to my Elvis records or my Beatle records, because these things are worse than nothing. If only it weren't for the teaching. Oh, if only it weren't for the teaching. What does Jesus look at? What does Jesus look at? The teaching. What does Paul look at? He sends his disciples out to all the ecclesias to check out the teaching. What are they teaching? Did they get the teaching right? Are they believing according to the teaching, which I got from Christ, which I gave to you, which you gave to them? Go out, come back to me, make sure they are believing the teaching. Make sure they're believing the right thing, and they are not turned aside to myths, 2 Timothy 2:4. That they're not heaping up teachers in accord with their own desires. Revering me. They're revering God with their lips. With their lips, they're honoring him. They're actually honoring him with their lips. You must understand this. They're honoring him. If you listen to them, they're heaping honor and praise. They are, Jesus said, they are honoring me with their lips. They are. They are honoring me. Listen. Oh, Lord, praise you. We love you. We honor you. We worship you. We love you. Bah, bah, bah. They praise. They're doing it. They're doing it. But their heart, even at the same time, while their lips are pouring this praise out to God and Christ, their hearts are wrong, because their hearts enjoy the fact that they're saved because they chose Christ. And well, it's just too bad that other people are going to be burned and tortured forever. That's just too bad. They don't want to think about it. They don't have to think about it. They just know it's true, and they operate under this sickness. It's a virus that infects them. And when the virus is there, nothing else matters. When the virus is present in a human being or in a organization, in the church, then the whole thing is doomed. And it doesn't matter if you take that church into the home. It doesn't matter where you go, if you take the virus with you. Nothing else matters. You're sick. You're sick. And all the reverence pouring out of your mouth is false reverence. It's just the lips. It's just the epiglottis. It's just the formation of the words. That's all it is. It's words. It's words. It's words. How's your heart? Well, I don't know how my heart is. Well, I can tell you. I'll tell you how your heart is. Tell me your teaching. Tell me your teaching. Do you believe in human free will? Then you have no idea what it is to have no confidence in the flesh. You have no idea what it is to not be boasting in your heart that you're the reason you're saved. You have no idea what that is. You're dark. Do you believe in eternal torment? Yes. Annihilation? Yes. Eternal death? Eternal separation from God? Because why? Sin? But don't you believe Jesus Christ took away the sin of the world? You're not sure. When are you going to figure it out? Oh, after the worship service. Gotcha. Yet in vain emptiness are they revering me. Teaching for teachings. The word is in there twice in the concordant version, the way it should be. Teaching for teachings. The directions of men. Human free will. Eternal conscious torment or annihilation. The Trinity, which says that Jesus is God the Father. In other words, Jesus didn't have a father. In other words, Jesus didn't really die because God can't die. And so the foundation stone of Paul's gospel, the death of Jesus Christ, is found to be false. Even though you claim it to be true, there's the lip thing again. No matter what you say, your teaching exposes you. If any Christian happens to be listening to this, I pray that something breaks through. That something breaks through to the other side. Breaking through to the other side. Here's a good start. Get the hell out of the church. And listen to some Doors music. Music by the Doors. The 1960s rock band. And then find some good literature. Go to concordant.org. Find a good translation of the scripture, which is a concordant literal New Testament, where with correctly translated words, the doctrine of eternal torment disappears. And find out that God's will is more powerful than man's will. Only then can worship be true. Which comes first, the teaching or the worship? Without proper teaching, there is no worship.